Thank you, Brother Ernie, for leading us in that wonderful singing. I certainly have enjoyed my visit this weekend, the hospitality, the fellowship has really refreshed my soul. And it's been a beautiful day here at Park of the Palms, a day that reminds us summer is coming. And with the coming of summer, I will be going off to Bible camps, youth camps. In fact, this will be my 47th consecutive summer in helping at camps. So as we go off this summer and proclaim the gospel, think of me once in a while and pray for me. I would appreciate it. And in thinking of prayer, remember to pray for the gospel crusade or campaign at Spanish Wells, Bahamas. And then I have a friend in St. Louis or the St. Louis area who's having surgery in the morning, a Mr. George Nelson, a real man of God. Some of you might know him. And then there's a dear sister up in the Chicago area, Dora Carrera, who has directed the girls' camp at Lake Geneva Youth Camp for over 40 years. She recently found out she had a very serious cancer. The prognosis is not good. You might pray for her. Now tonight, I'd like to speak about something I like to speak about. Something I like to think about. I'm going to speak about heaven. I have a number of messages on heaven. Heaven, the land of no more. Heaven is out of this world. Heaven is better by far. Heaven, my eternal home. Heaven and how to get there. And just when I think of heaven. You know, it's real good to think about heaven. Good to turn away from this world with all its trouble, with all its problems, all its violence and strife, wickedness. Oh, there's so much in the way of hurting hearts and broken lives. It sort of gets us depressed sometimes. But it's good to turn away from all this and think about heaven. I have found that it's a blessing to my soul. I have found that when people are thinking about heaven, they're a blessing to others, and I'm sure it is pleasing to our Heavenly Father. Now, when some people think about heaven, they think about a kingdom or a city or a land, a country, and certainly it's wonderful to think of it as Emmanuel's land. Some people think of heaven as a state of being, and it is a state, but it is also a place. I especially like to think about heaven as home. In fact, the best way to spell heaven is H-O-M-E. You know, when we put our faith in the Savior, the Lord Jesus, we become strangers and pilgrims in this world, just passing through to our heavenly home. And when the journey is over, we reach that glorious place. I'm going to let you in on a secret tonight. I found out that I'm over the hill. I was out in Seattle some time ago and walking in those up and down streets in the downtown area with a couple of friends of mine. And I heard a tap, tap, tap behind me, or behind us. And I looked, And it was a little old lady with a walking stick. Pretty soon she passed us up and got way out in front. Now, when that happens to you, you know you're over the hill. But that is good. I used to live out in Albuquerque, New Mexico with my wife and children. And quite often I'd go over to Navajo land on missions to the Indians. And I'd get a little bit homesick after a while. And I was always glad when I could get back in my car and travel Highway 66 back to Albuquerque from Arizona. And I remember one time it was bitter cold. In fact, the highway was kind of icy. I was a little apprehensive, but I was so glad when I finally climbed that last hill and looked out upon the city of Albuquerque, all lit up at night, saw the Rio Grande River, and nearby that area where we lived. As I got over the hill, my heart skipped a beat because I knew I would soon see my wife and the children. I knew I was almost home. So when you get over the hill, you know you're almost home. And if we're Christians, that's something to get excited about, something to anticipate with joy. It's wonderful. Now I'd like to read a few scriptures. First of all, a familiar one in John's Gospel, John chapter 14. John chapter 14, the first six verses. These are troubled times, and there are many troubled hearts. The Lord says, "Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me, trust me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And whither I go ye know, and the way ye know. Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." Now to 2 Corinthians chapter 12, Paul's second letter to the Corinthians chapter 12. Verse 1, where he says, "It is not expedient for me, doubtless, to glory. I will come to visions and revelations of the Lord. I knew a man in Christ above 14 years ago, whether in the body I cannot tell, or whether out of the body I cannot tell. God knoweth, such an one caught up to the third heaven. And I knew such a man." And I believe Paul was speaking of himself, because 14 years prior to this he was stoned and left for dead. "Whether in the body or out of the body, I cannot tell. God knoweth how he was caught up into paradise." Stop there and finally go to the book of Revelation, chapter 20. Revelation chapter 20, verse 4. "And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, And there shall be no more death, neither sorrow, nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. Then notice in chapter 22, the last chapter in the Bible, verse 3, and there shall be no more curse, for the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him. And they shall see his face, and his name shall be in their foreheads. And there shall be no night there, and they need no candle, neither light of the sun. For the Lord God giveth them light, and they shall reign forever and ever. I'd like to follow a very simple outline. First of all, where is heaven? Secondly, what is heaven like? Thirdly, what will we do there? Fourth, when will it end? Fifth, who will be there? Sixth, why can we go there? And finally, how do we get there? First of all, where is heaven? Well, the Bible does not give us the latitude and the longitude of heaven in this universe. In fact, the Bible speaks of three heavens. There is the atmospheric heavens that we have about us where the birds fly. We have the starry heavens where spaceships have ventured into just the edge of, the edge thereof. And then there is the third heaven, paradise, which is the Father's house or home. That is where God is. Now, heaven, we read in the scriptures, is up. And we read that the Son of God came down from heaven. I recall a number of years ago, a Russian cosmonaut went out into space, and when he returned, he said, I didn't see God out there, and I didn't see heaven either. The poor man, he died not long after that, and he found out there was a God, and that there is a heaven. But God has put heaven way beyond the reach of mortal man, way beyond the gaze of mortal eyes. It's way out there beyond the starry heavens. And yet, though it is so far off, it can be but a breath away or a step away for the child of God. We can be here in this body one moment and then absent from the body at home with the Lord the next moment. I do not believe it takes a long time for our soul to make that journey. You know, every once in a while, I'll go to the airport in Jacksonville, Florida, or Brunswick, Georgia, and I'll take a flight to my destination, maybe Dallas, Texas, Chicago, Illinois, Washington, D.C. But regardless of where I'm going, they nearly always send me through Atlanta, the change planes there. I thank God that when we go to heaven, we won't have to go through Atlanta. Especially wouldn't want to go there through there this coming summer. But it's going to be a direct flight. One moment here, the next moment there. Hallelujah. Now, what is heaven like? Well, here again, the scripture does not give us a great deal of detail. Uh, There's one thing about heaven that is very obvious, and that is God himself. All our focus in heaven is going to be upon our God and our Savior. But when it comes to detail, we don't find too much or very much in the Scripture. Why is this? Well, perhaps it's because our finite minds just wouldn't be able to comprehend it. If you went down to, say, Brazil, and you found people in a jungle who only knew the trees and the river and the huts and the birds and the fish and the animals, and that was their world, and you tried to tell them about life in America with its modern transportation systems, the communication here, try to tell them about television and the technology that we have here in this land, they wouldn't know what you were talking about. And so perhaps that's one reason we don't have a lot in the Scripture about heavenly details. And I've often thought, if we could send some preachers up to heaven, say all those preachers who were here for the Bible conference, send them on to heaven when they got through here, and then have them come back next year to tell us about it, my, that would be wonderful. But you know what? When we finally got to heaven, we'd have to say, the half has not been told. You know, one thing for sure is those things that are going to be in the infernal realm are not going to be in heaven, and those things that mar this earthly realm are not going to be in heaven. In that sense, it's going to be the land of no more. There'll be no more sin in heaven. No rebellion will ever break out up there. There'll be no evil. It will not permeate that beautiful place. There'll be no more crime in heaven. No more burglary, robbery, or violence, or murder. Those things will never be in heaven. In fact, there will be no policemen in heaven, no jails, no judges, no lawyers. That'll all be in the past. And then there's going to be no sickness in heaven, no pain in heaven, no headaches, no toothaches. In fact, you won't need your glasses up there. You won't need your wheelchairs or your crutches or your walking aids, whatever you may use. You won't need any prescriptions in heaven or any medicine. There'll be no doctors, no nurses, no hospitals. All these things will be in the past. I remember one time I made the statement somewhere that there would be no doctors in heaven, and one man down in the third row raised his eyebrows. Well, I had to clarify that and explain that their services would not be needed in heaven. No pain, no sickness. Oh, it's going to be wonderful. And then there's going to be no death in heaven. No one will ever die there. No funerals, no sickness, no sadness. No undertakers, no cemeteries, no tears. That'll all be a thing of the past. And then there will be no taxes in heaven. There won't be any utility bills to pay or insurance premiums. Then there'll be no disappointments, no frustrations, no anger, and thank God there'll be no wars in heaven. No more terrible conflicts where thousands of people suffer and die. All this will be a thing of the past or things of the past. And then in heaven, the birds will never hush their singing, and the flowers will never lose their fragrance. But I say that for you to think about. Are there going to be birds in heaven? Are there going to be flowers in heaven? I said to my wife some time ago, I think when you get to heaven, you're going to be doing what you're doing here on earth. You're going to feed the birds. She feeds thousands of them, I think. Beautiful birds. Well, we really don't know all these details, but we know it's going to be beautiful. We know it's going to be a place of satisfaction. When I awake with his lightness, I shall be satisfied. It's going to be a place of security, a place of beauty and glory and splendor and wonder. Hallelujah. And what are we going to do there? Well, some people think that we're going to sit on a cloud and play a harp. Now, I wouldn't mind doing that, but it's going to be much more than that. In fact, I think of heaven as something like going to a meeting in a chapel here on earth. What do? Well, we fellowship. We learn. And when we get to heaven, I don't think we're going to know everything, but that we're going to learn the wonders of God's creation and the wonders of redemption and all those inexplicable things that happen to us on earth. Perhaps we'll learn the answers to those things as well. We're going to learn. And then we're going to serve. I don't know exactly what we'll do, feed the birds or whatever, but we read there in Revelation, his servants shall serve him. And then we're going to fellowship, and it's going to be so much sweeter than it is here on earth. Someone has written these words, to dwell with saints above, oh, that will be glory. To live with saints here below, that's a different story. Sometimes there's friction, sometimes feelings are hurt, but hallelujah, in heaven, our fellowship is going to be sweet, it's going to be perfect, it's going to be wonderful. And then we're going to sing in heaven. When we come together, we sing, and I believe we're going to do that up in the glory. Have you ever heard a 1,000-voice choir sing, say, the Hallelujah chorus? Or How Great Thou Art? My, it just thrills your innermost being. Think of it. We're going to hear the choir in heaven, and it's going to be made up of all the saints. And there won't be any rasping voices. Nobody will be out of tune. We'll all sing in perfect harmony unto him who loved us and gave himself for us, who loosed us from our sins in his precious blood. Yea, we're going to sing heaven's national anthem, Worthy, Worthy is the Lamb. And the whole universe will re-echo the praises of that choir. And then when we get to heaven, we're going to worship. As I said, all the focus is going to be upon our great God. And we will be, no doubt, all stricken at the sight of the angels. But oh, when we see our God, and when we see our Savior with the nail prints in his hands, we're going to worship as we never did here on earth. Oh, it's going to be wonderful. Now, how long will it last? Sometimes when I drive the highways in Georgia, I go by the ruins of an old mansion or an old house. Down the road, I see a cemetery, and I wonder if the children who played in that house are now buried in the cemetery. Well, you know, the Father's house in heaven is never going to fall apart, never going to fall into ruins. It's going to last forever. And hallelujah, the new bodies that we receive in heaven, they're going to last forever too. And we'll never develop wrinkles or gray hairs or blemishes or anything like that. We're going to have perfect resurrected bodies fashioned and fitted for the realms above. How long will heaven last? Forever. What did David say? I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And what did the Apostle Paul say? And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Hallelujah, there'll be no end to heaven. Someone asked me some time ago if there will be time in heaven. They heard me say that there'll be no clocks on the walls and no calendars. And I had to think that through. You know, there's a song we sing, when the roll is called up yonder and time shall be no more. And again we sing, when we've been there 10,000 years, will there be time in heaven? I believe there will, because the Apostle Paul speaks of glory being to our God unto the ages of ages in the book of Ephesians. But time will be different. There'll be no end to it. I don't see how you can sing without time. So we're going to have it, but it's going to be so different, it'll never come to an end. And now our next point. Who is going to be in heaven? Well, we know our great God will be there, and all the holy angels, and of course our Savior. Perhaps then we'll understand the Trinity. And then all the Old Testament saints are going to be there. And you know what I think? I think everybody is going to know everybody in heaven. Remember when, Moses and Elijah appeared with our Lord on the Mount of Transfiguration? The disciples recognized them immediately, even though they had been, as you measure time, there for hundreds of years. They knew who they were. So I believe we're going to know everybody in heaven. We're going to meet Noah. We're going to meet Jeremiah and Isaiah and Hannah and all the Old Testament saints, and maybe we'll have a lot of questions for them. And then we're going to know the New Testament saints, Peter and Paul and John and Mary and Martha and all these saints. And then we're going to know all the Christians of the church age, David Livingston, Dwight L. Moody, Fanny Crosby. By the way, do you know what Fanny Crosby said at the end of her life? I thank God that I was blind. But when she arrived in heaven, the first person she saw was her Savior. So we're going to meet Fanny Crosby, and then all of those dear friends and loved ones who have had their faith in Christ. And you know, it just takes a spark of faith to get there. It's not the life you live, but the Savior you trust. And it's not the strength of one's faith that gets them there. Not the amount of faith, but the object of faith that counts. The Savior, mighty to save. And all those loved ones who have had their faith in the Savior, your fathers, your mothers, your grandparents, your brothers and sisters and aunts and uncles and wives and husbands and children. They're going to be there. And what a wonderful reunion we're going to have. My wife and I have some sons who've gone there. And you know, we get homesick to see them. I used to wonder, how can spirits hug spirits? But when we see them, we're going to have resurrection bodies. And we'll be able to hug one another and be reunited, never to part anymore. But now let me ask a question. Are you sure that you're going to be there? 100% sure? You know, we can be sure because of the eternal efficacy of the blood of Christ that was shed for us, and because of the faithful word of God. He cannot lie, and he promises that if we trust his Son, we'll go to heaven when we die. Will you be there? I mentioned Spanish Wells a while ago. Been going over there since 1951. And on one occasion I spoke about heaven, and the brethren had the good habit of getting together out in the lobby at the end of the service, and they would always talk about what they had just heard. And so I spoke about heaven, and I heard one of them say, "Oh, what will it be like to be there?" And then another one said, "Yes, and what will it be like not to be there?" Oh, how sad to think of people shut off, cut off from heaven and the glory of God forever and ever in that awful place of darkness. Be sure that you're not one of them. And now our final 2 points. Why can we go to heaven? We can go to heaven because God so loved the world, loved to such an amazing, astonishing degree that he gave his beloved Son to die the death of the cross. And the Lord Jesus, he willingly went to that cross, and as we were reminded this morning, not only suffered the pain men inflicted upon him and the shame they heaped upon him, but suffered that infinite agony as he bore the sin of the world, the iniquity of us all. And that's why we can go to heaven, because the incarnate Maker died for man, his creature's sin. He satisfied all the demands of heaven's justice. And now the way to heaven is open. Hallelujah. That's why we can go to heaven. Because Jesus said, "I am the good shepherd. Because I am the way. I am the door." But finally, how do we get to heaven? I asked that question at a Bible camp a few years ago to a group of boys, and one of them shot up his hand, and he said, "Oh, that's simple, Mr. Fred, or Mr. Happy Rock, whatever he called me." He says, "All we have to do is die." Well, that's all we have to do if we're saved. Heaven is a prepared place for a prepared people. We have to have God's salvation before we die, the forgiveness of sins and the eternal life. And that salvation, by the way, is not a bargain that we can pay a little bit for. Salvation is absolutely free. It's of the grace of God. And my friend, what we need then is simply repentance toward God and faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. And then we have God's word for it that will go to heaven. But before we die, we have to have that salvation. Quite often, I'll be talking to people and I'll say to them, I'm going to leave all this one of these days. I'm going to go to heaven. And I'm going there because of my good looks. And I said that to a nun one day. And she looked at me. She said, I think you need more than that. But then I explained. First, I took a good look at myself and I saw that there was something wrong with me. I saw failure. I saw that I was doing things wrong. I was a sinner in the sight of a holy God. Then I took a good look at the cross and I saw the Savior dying for our sins, dying for my sins. Then I took a good look in the book and I saw that if I put my faith in Him who died and rose again, I would go to heaven. And the nun said, that's good. That's good. But you know, the reason I use it is because when you deal with people, first of all, they have to see their need. Secondly, they have to see their need provided for. And then thirdly, they have to do something about it. And so if you're here tonight and you see your need for salvation, may you look to the cross and see that need provided for in a risen Savior. And may you do something about it. May you receive Him as your Lord and Savior. Don't miss heaven. Do we have time, Brother Ernie, to sing a verse or two of a song? And I'll say good night. God bless you. And if I don't see you around, I'll see you. I hope to see you above. Brother Ernie?